welcome to the Governor's Podcast for Church School Governors in the Diocese of Chichester. Hello, my name is Mike Simmons. I'm the Governance Development Officer for the Diocese of Chichester. Welcome to this first podcast for school governors in our diocese. I'm hoping this will become a regular occurrence, so please subscribe in your normal way and listen as you can, term by term. Well, we begin a new school year and look forward to perhaps a year with uninterrupted schooling for our children in the many schools across the diocese. In these podcasts, I hope to discuss some of the things that we're facing and come up with some of the ideas that will help us to deal with issues within our schools. I'll introduce you to individual governors and talk about some of the things that we're putting in place to support you in governance across the diocese. Well, let's get underway with an interview that I undertook recently with a governor. Monica Pell is the chair of the Woodlands Federation in West Sussex, a federation now of two schools that work very closely together. So I asked her to explain to us a little bit more about how that works. What's collaboration like when the schools do things together?
Well, the schools, obviously, they do as much as they can together. For instance, we have one school improvement plan that covers the two schools. Now, they came up with that idea in for September 2020. And then during between 2020 and 2021, they were saying, I wonder whether we've got this right. Should we have the same one? Although our priorities are more or less the same. And then they asked you, well, let's have a look. Let's see if we really need to step away from one school improvement plan and have separate ones. But then when they sat down together and went through their individual priorities, they married up. So actually, it went back into being, it was just in one. The only difference, the part that is different, is that obviously for the community school, there is no Christian distinctiveness. Mm-hmm. However, there is an additional part for the church school. But they were very aware that actually they didn't need two separate ones. They gave it a lot of thought, having started off with one, wondering should it be two? No. So we're still back with one, because actually their last Ofsteds were very similar. So everything they wanted to do, tried to do, actually came very much down to the same things.
Can I just interrupt you there? And so when you say they, are you referring to the school leadership teams or to the governing board or both?
It's very much, well, I suppose it starts with the head teachers, and then involving the governing board. But basically, they are the two head teachers are very proactive, very big thinkers. They think things through. They're proactive. They're not reactive. They don't suddenly go, oh, we ought supposed to have done that. Let's react to this now. They plan it all out. So we're very lucky in the approaches that they have to get us through all of these things. But because they're small schools, the staff previously wore so many different hats that, you know, what day of the week it was just like, who are you today? Oh, you're the literacy coordinator today. Oh, tomorrow you're the art coordinator. And so they thought, how can we make the workload more manageable for everybody? So now we have subject leads who are overarching the two schools. So somebody who works in one of the schools is the subject lead across the federation for whatever subject it happens to be, and then somebody from the other school will possibly join them in a supportive role, but not they don't take the bulk of the work. So we now have federation subject leads or subject champions, we call them, because they're out there to champion their subjects. So that is something that's been developed, and it was developed over last year to a great extent, and is sort of really embedded now, ready for this coming year. We're lucky that we have very stable staff. You know, the staff tend not to leave. So therefore, once this year, hopefully, COVID won't rear its ugly head too much, they will have a clear run at doing all these things. The governors have, we've gone the collaboration bit, we've taken it in the opposite direction almost. Instead of having one person from the governing body who is the safeguarding lead, let's say, or the safeguarding lead governor, we have two fully trained. They go in as a pair to both schools. We have two for everything, which means that sometimes people have to go on their own because somebody, you know, the other person can't manage it. But generally speaking, we go in as twos. It's made the visit reports much more meaningful because two brains have gone into the report. You know, one writes it, the other reads it and then adds to it. And it's given people a better understanding of the schools, I think. Yeah, it has. And governors are more visible these days because obviously during COVID we weren't at all visible. But so everybody is more aware of what's going on. But the sort of collaboration is key, really, to what we view as the success of our little federation out here.
You told me recently that you pressed the reset button on your governance. What does that mean, and how did it come about?
Well, I think, you know, it's said that you're never too old to learn. And I think that's something that I don't think I've really thought about it, but I've always done courses, wanted to learn more. And then the Liverpool Hope one came up, and it was quite a spur of the moment decision. It sort of flashed up in an email. I think I contacted the head of the head of school at the church school and said, "What do you think, Paul?" And he said, "Oh yeah, let's go for it." So I did, and I don't know what I was expecting from it. But I think I'd got to a point where we were so battered and bruised by the local authority closing one of the schools, and finances were poor, and it just everything seemed so negative. And you get to the point where you think, oh, I'm not sure why I'm doing this, really. But during the course of the course, I think because I had to really think more and more deeply about what I was doing and why was I doing it, that it sort of gave me a new lease of life. I'm really sure how or when it happened, but there was one element where it was, the title of it was, "Who are you and what are you called to be?" I think that's what it was. And that really, really made me think, you know, oh, look, I've worked in church schools all my teaching career since 1971. I've been in church schools bar one school. What was that about? Was that a conscious decision or was that an unconscious decision? And I wonder now whether it was actually a conscious decision I made, or an unconscious decision, but you know, that one where somehow they were the right places for me to be. But yeah, it just gave me a new, yes, instead of feeling, oh, I'm not sure about this anymore, oh, my term of office comes to the end in May, and I'd actually told them all, I'm going, I'm off. Surprise, surprise, I haven't gone, I'm not off. Because, yeah, suddenly it was, yeah, I can see this, I can see why I'm doing it and what I'm meant to do, and let's carry on.
So a kind of fresh outlook on the whole context of school governance and your particular roles. So it's clearly had that course clearly had an impact on you, and I'll explain a bit more about the course later in the podcast. But why do you think governors in the Diocese of Chichester should consider enrolling in the next cohort, which will be from January?
Well, I mean, one of my governors may do it, although she's got a job which may mean that she doesn't actually have the time, but she wants to do it. But anyway, we'll see. But I think what I would say to anybody is, it's 6 months, yes, six sessions, but actually, it takes you away from the day-to-day governance that we're used to doing, which can be really draining, I think. And you just don't, I don't know, you just don't feel that sometimes that you're actually having much impact or, but by doing it, you actually will, you stop to think, well, actually, yes, that did matter and that matters. And I see where I am, I see how I fit into all of this. And I see what else I can do now. And I know that there are like-minded people around the country because I've seen them on the screen and talked to them. And that from all of just those conversations, the online meetings, you hear people who have been in a similar situation, you pick up ideas, and it just gives, I think, it just gives you a fresh outlook on things. Well, it did me anyway. That's what it did for me. It didn't make me feel that I was not doing things right. It made me feel, oh, well, right, I need to think about this. Am I doing what I need to do? Yes, no. But I think most of all, it gave me the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, which I'd never really thought about before.
Interesting, isn't it? I keep hearing from people who are on the course or have done the course that there are two things that they feel about it. One is what you've been talking about, that kind of thinking time, reflecting on practice and ideas and why and how and so on, which whilst we're in the busyness of doing, we often don't have chance to actually step back and reflect. And the second is the confidence that comes from that kind of process, really, to pick up the baton. And as I introduced the question with the reset button that you
Yes.
talked to me about before, and how that's given you a kind of a new way of moving forward in the same field and facing probably very similar challenges and issues. One last question for you, Monica. I wonder, what are you looking forward to in this new academic year, 22-23? What are your hopes and dreams?
One thing that I'm hoping for, I suppose, in general, I'm just hoping that the schools do get a clear run at things, that COVID or anything else does not rear its ugly head and sort of put the brakes on things, that they can actually start something and it flows through to its end. I would love to for an academic year that isn't interrupted by major problems. I would also really like to think that when those lovely people from Ofsted call, which they are due to in one of the schools, that they see what we see. That they, because our heads don't hide anything from us. So we definitely know what's going on in our schools. And I want them to see what we see and what the children see. And I want to hear children talking about this, what they think of their school, in a way that shows that everything is working as it should be. And the last time we spoke to some children just before the end of term, one of the questions was, we were having a general chat, and it's, what do you really like about being here? And one of the girls said, well, here you can be who you are. And it's like, oh my word. You can be who you are, and you know that all the adults are there for you no matter what.
And that's think, a really lovely thing to have
you
said.
Can't ask for more than that.
You can't,
really.
Can you? No.
So that's what I would like to think, that by this time next year they can look back and go, we've had a complete year, we've had 40 weeks of school with no interruptions. That I would love to see.
Well, I want to thank Monica for being my first interviewee. I hope that some of the things that she shared will be encouraging and supportive for you in your particular governance. If you have any questions about today's podcast or questions that you would like to be covered in the next editions of this podcast, please email me, mike.simmons@chichester.anglican.org. Love to hear from you, your reactions to the podcast, and any questions. I plan to conclude each podcast by talking about, first of all, Grove Books, the Grove Education Series. You can find more about these on the Grove website, grovebooks.co.uk. And selflessly, I'm going to mention the one that I have authored. It's entitled Church School Governance. You may not yet have come across this, but in just a few words, in the line with the Grove Books idea of not the last word but often the first word, this little book is about an introduction to help you think through some of the really key specifics of church school governance. If you attend any of my training sessions, you will find inevitably some of these themes pop up in the course of what we share. On page 22, I talk about how becoming a church school governor, you have made a start to supporting and engaging with the church and school partnership, and gives a number of ideas, and then talks about a mission-shaped vision, saying another important role a church school governor can fulfill is to encourage the church to reflect upon its purpose in supporting or working with their attached school. This partnership should go beyond just being an accident of history. A foundation governor working with the incumbent becomes today's bridge between church and school, with scope for forming a credible and effective partnership. I wrote that long before the growing partnership program within the Diocese of Chichester. So please do pick up that, and please do consider how that might impact your school and your church and the link between the two. More details are on the Diocesan website. In a couple of weeks, we'll be sending out an e-bulletin with all of the courses that we are running during the course of this term. But you can check those out by going to our Eventbrite page, where they're all listed. Again, if you need that link, please email me and or schools@chichester.anglican.org, and we'll be happy to send you more details. Meanwhile, I must mention the virtual conference on the 28th of September at 6 p.m. We're hoping many, many governors, both foundation and other governors from across the diocese, will join together for that online virtual conference. Bishop of Chichester, Bishop Martin, will be beginning the conference, and Paul Carenza, who is a comedian friend of mine, will be concluding it. And in between, we'll have some various things which will, I hope, inspire you and help you in your governance role. Now, Monica mentioned the Liverpool Hope course. Let me tell you very briefly about it. It's called the Hope Church School Governance Online Training Programme. Bit of a mouthful, but essentially it's for governors and trustees or directors in both church schools and all schools with a distinctively Christian ethos. It's intended to give you a much more in-depth, reflective opportunity over about 6 months through six sessions and six Zoom calls to think about your expectations, your personal commitments, your understanding of some of the key responsibilities, and it is a really worthwhile way of developing as a church school governor. I'd encourage you to go to hope.ac.uk website, and in the main search put church school governance, and you should be able to be directed to the pages that will outline the course. What I'm hoping, because it runs from January through for 6 months, what I'm hoping is that there will be a number of people from the Diocese of Chichester. That way we can have a cohort that will support one another and share with one another, both during the course and perhaps even afterwards. Again, if you've got questions, do write to me, mike.simmons@chichester.anglican.org. Love to converse with you about this course and any of the matters raised today in this podcast. So thank you for joining the podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe so that you know when the next one is published. Expect to do 2.5 term, maybe 3. In fact, you never know how many there will be, because it'll be about material that I might want to be able to share with you. So do enjoy listening, give us a feedback, and thank you very much, and may God really be with you in this academic year of school governance. And a short prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look back on our school holidays, we thank you for rest and relaxation, and we pray that as we continue to take up the baton and serve you, our school and the community, that you will be present in all that happens within our governance and within the school that we serve. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.